This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. New Beginnings topics include end-of-life concerns, health of mind, body, and spirit, housing, finance, and your career. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Happy weekend, everyone. Happy Saturday to you. I'm Freddie Bell and glad to be with you for another weekend of New Beginnings, where we really help you to take best advantage of your entire life. And with us now to help us with our career segment of New Beginnings is our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. You can find him at RippleConnects.com. That's RippleConnects.com, or by phone at 763-438-1600. Joe McKenzie, good morning and welcome.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. Glad you're with us today. And we want to talk about self-marketing, your unpaid work experience into a new career. So what do you mean when you say unpaid work experience?
Well, we could also call it volunteering, or we could just call it, you know, just fine-tuning those skills, working with someone that you may not even consider volunteering. I know that the early days before I incorporated, I didn't consider it so much volunteering to help someone, but mentoring or just being there as a more of a consultative role, but I didn't call myself a consultant. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes on every day in this country, that people fine tune their skills or they uncover those skills that they've always had. I know I realized that I was a pretty darn good career coach long before the world thought I was. And it was because I was meeting with people. I was mentoring people. And so along with the typical what you consider volunteer work, that's unpaid work experience in my book. And why should anybody not utilize that in regards to recalibrating or retooling and reimagining their careers? And so I think it's an important that we draw this out for people to know that you should self-market your unpaid work experience. And it may take some more time or some extra, you know, legwork on your part, but you're well down the path once you've started volunteering or just in the process of helping others.
So do you think people undervalue their unpaid or volunteer experience?
I think most individuals do. If you don't get paid for it, they undervalue their own work. And I know that I was, 10 years ago, I was still doing some great work with people. And really because a lot of the skills that I had learned as a sales manager in the office equipment industry kind of transferred to helping people get ready for the job interview or just getting them in a mentality of selling themselves. So I found myself undervaluing what I brought, but the people that I was helping didn't. And so, yeah, I think it's common for people that are not getting paid that they don't value what they offer and what they bring to other people's lives in regards to their own unpaid work experience.
Very interesting, everyone. We're talking with Joe McKenzie, our co-host on New Beginnings, about self-marketing your unpaid work experience into a new career. And I'm just wondering, what steps do you suggest for someone who is seeking to leverage their unpaid work experience or their volunteer experience to carve out that new career?
Well, getting clarity about what your differential is. And what I mean by that is my coaching in regards to career is not like most people's. And I approach it differently, my coaching, in regards to interview and self-marketing. So that's my differential. That's what I become known for. But I needed to gain that clarity, Freddie, in regards to how I approached it. And that helped me to market myself. That helped me to incorporate Ripple Connects. I wasn't approaching it like most people. I that clarity helped me, and I'm confident that someone who's got a good background of unpaid work experience probably knows what I'm talking about. And so when you get clarity on what you've brought, and it could be, You know, what if you ran social media for a neighbor, or at your faith organization, you were a volunteer coordinator and you recruited 100 people and you found different ways to engage people, et cetera, et cetera. Freddie, that's your differential. And so when you get that clarity, at least you have that aha moment that you say, you know, I could see myself in this type of role in a W-2 type of position. And so I think that that's your first step. And if you're struggling with it at that point, ask others what you've meant to them. I know that that helped me, and I'm confident that will help someone else that has that unpaid work experience. Ask the people that you've been helping what you've done and what you've done for them, and that will help you to start carving out your next steps on how do you self-market this.
So do you think it's difficult for people to see their own value? Is it difficult for them to hold the mirror up to themselves, so to speak, to see their own worth, to see their own value when it comes to carving out their self-marketing plan, when it comes to leveraging that unpaid experience?
I think it happens quite often where people are, you know, we're Midwest sensibilities. We're taught not to brag about ourselves. We're taught not to talk about ourselves. But in regards to this, Freddie, we should own it, and we should own what we've done for people. And if you help someone to get a job, or if you help recruit 100 volunteers at your faith organization, or streamlined a social media presence for your neighbor unpaid, you should own it, and you should begin to see yourself as a trusted and valued resource to somebody. And that's how most ideas start. We fill a need. We come at it differently, and so we compete against others in that field. But I do think people commonly undervalue what they do for others because they didn't get a paycheck. And I think some of the best ideas happen when you fill a need for somebody that's struggling or a company that needs your help. And I think that would be the proper framing of how you see your values that you're bringing. But it does happen, and it's normal. But I think, Freddie, people should stop to think about what the outcomes you brought that person, or that organization that you provided unpaid work experience for, and begin to self-market yourself. I'm giving everybody that's listening today permission to self-market yourself, and that means talking about the outcomes that you were a part of.
That's pretty exciting, everyone. We're talking with Joe McKenzie, our career expert on New Beginnings, also our co-host on the program. We're talking about self-marketing your unpaid work experience, and then leveraging that into a new career. So, Joe, talk about the potential obstacles, if any, that somebody could run into by attempting to turn their unpaid volunteer experience or their unpaid work experience into a paid position.
Let's turn this around a little bit. If you haven't got a W-2 for your work, it's possible that people around you, even in your bench of advocates or professional network, may have not realized that you're doing this for others. And employers may not see your, because you did not get paid for it, they may not value your unpaid work experience. So the obstacle is going to be the mindset of others, the people that do know you and don't know you. And if you want to self-market yourself into a new career, you're going to have to change their mind, and you're going to have to show examples. You're going to have to bring a breakthrough mindset on what you're doing, and you're going to have to talk about outcomes. Some of the ways that I marketed myself and Ripple Connects was to talk about the people that I helped. And I know that there's people out there right now that have had unpaid work experience that they knocked it out of the park for an individual or an organization or a nonprofit. If you truly want to do this in your career, then you're going to have to overcome that mindset obstacle of others. And you're going to have to provide them with some kind of proof by example that you can really do it. You have the chops to do this type of role, because that mindset does exist. And I ran up against that with a number of people that knew me what does Joe McKenzie know about interview coaching? I thought he sold copiers. That is something I had to overcome. Well, and I just needed to provide examples of how I was able to take that transferable skill and apply it to the career coaching world.
Well, if there was one thing that you would suggest someone do this weekend, what would that be?
Take inventory of your unpaid work experience and realize, did you enjoy it? Is this something you'd like to do as a second career or a side job? Think about what really brought you the utmost satisfaction and who you've helped, and take inventory of that unpaid work experience and begin to start thinking about how you're going to self-market that if you want to go in that direction in regards to a new or second career.
Powerful information, Joe McKenzie. You do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And this is New Beginnings.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
It's time to wake up and finally go after that goal and create that success that you've been wanting for so long. West Metro Hypnosis is making it so easy to find out how powerful hypnosis can be to help you make positive changes in your life. For only $49, you can schedule your discovery session to discover how powerful you really are and how hypnosis can help you reach your goals. So what limitation have you accepted about yourself? That you can't lose weight? That you can't stop smoking? That you can't get over a fear? That you can't, you can't, you can't? $49 will show you how possible your goal really is. Call Kelly today at 952-222-3975 to schedule your $49 discovery session. You'll be surprised at how good it feels to finally be creating your success. 952-222-3975. West Metro Hypnosis. Wake up to your success.
Says the spokesman.
Hey ladies, have you ever wanted a place where you could network, shop, eat, laugh, and learn? Sister Spokesman is that place. Held the first Saturday of every month, Sister Spokesman takes place from 12 to 4 p.m. at various locations throughout the Twin Cities. And it's sponsored by the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. Vendor opportunities are also available. For more information, 612-827-4021 or online at spokesman-recorder.com.
Sister Spokesman.
Recently, someone said, "You look really happy. What's up?" I had to admit that I was feeling good. My job, friends, and spiritual life are all in tune. It's just so good when you find a place that helps you over the bumps in life, affirms that you are a special person, and that all you desire is waiting for you to claim it. A place where there's no blame, no shame, letting you just be you. Embracing, loving, empowering. That's Unity South Church, a non-denominational spiritual community for adults and children, located at 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington. Come visit on Sundays at 9 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. Unity South.
Hi, this is Kirk Duckwall with the House Geeks and the Twin Cities Real Estate Show here on AM 950. If you're thinking about making a move, check out our free books, which you can request at housegeeks.com. The Smart Home Buyer Book is a guide through one of your biggest financial decisions. This book covers how to find some of the best values on homes and loans, how to navigate and negotiate on homes with multiple offers, all the way through getting what you want out of your inspection contingency. Don't forget about our Smart Seller, a guide through the sale process and maximizing value. In this book, we cover how to prepare your home for sale, knowing how long it will take for your home to sell, and how to determine what your home will sell for. We also uncover the truth behind instant offers. If you would like a copy of either of these free books, check us out online at housegeeks.com to request yours today.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and with us right now, we turn our attention to finance, your money. And with us to help in that discussion is Dr. Ted Klontz. He is the financial psychologist and associate professor of practice and founder of the Financial Psychology Institute at Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska. Good morning, sir, and welcome to the program.
I appreciate being invited.
Well, you're talking about something really interesting. You're saying that Americans, most Americans, need to rethink their saving strategies and come up with a new behavior that fits the way we think and live now. Can you take us back a little bit? How was the original thinking, say, just a few years ago, and how is that different today?
Up until the last, I would say, the last 75 to 100 years, it's really, there was no need to save. Number one, we didn't live long enough to live beyond our working lifetime. The average age of death in America in 1900 was 50. So there wasn't any need to go much beyond that. And most people could be productive and continue to contribute and collect up until the time of their death.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, and let's say that they lived a little bit longer, then the community would take care of them. The family, they would live together. So we have the elders and the youngsters and the people in the middle, all living in the same complex, maybe in the same neighborhood, in the same house in many ways. So the Social Security system and childcare was built in to the system. So there was no need for that. And in many cases, everybody had to contribute and everybody pitched their pennies in to make it possible for the entire group to survive. Now, this is not only 100 years ago, but 100,000 years ago, too. And that was the expectation. In some parts of our culture today, that's still true, that especially in the very low wealth, high poverty areas, everybody contributes, pennies, dimes, nickels, so that everybody can eat or everybody can enjoy things collectively. And there's still a lot of pressure in those communities that continue, which really inhibits the savings of those people in those communities who want to save for themselves. Historically, that was considered hoarding. It was considered antisocial, and it would be sanctioned by the community and the tribe up to the point of death.
Wow. So things have really changed, but it seems as if that we're rethinking this whole idea of savings. How has it changed in, say, the last 50 years?
Well, it's the need to change. We don't really have a choice now. It's clear that at this moment in time that the social services cannot support me for the last 30 years of my life. So I'm going to have to help myself. And that the family has dispersed. You know, there's been the dysphoria of the entire family. So we don't have the family that's going to take care of the elders or the children. So we have to hire that out, and we have to have money to do that. And it's pretty much self-supporting because the government can't do it. The social services are not robust enough to be able to do that.
So how does that work when some families, you mentioned some of the lower income families, there are people who are in this audience on our show who are 50 and above, how can they save for the future when it's tough making ends meet right now? How do you insert that new paradigm?
Well, we sort of have to trick the brain. Most of our brains are not wired to save. We get more pleasure out of sharing, giving, and spending than we do saving. So we sort of have to do a little brain hack, if you will.
Mm.
So one way that one does it, it happens automatically. And what I mean automatically, the government saves your tax money for you. That's an automatic thing.
Yes.
Right? And it goes away before you even see it. So that's one of the ways that we can trick the brain into thinking it actually has less than it actually does. Meanwhile, we store it over here so that we can use it at a later point in time. So it's finding out how the brain actually works and then doing what I call workarounds, or we do a patch around the part of us that says, I get more pleasure out of giving, sharing, spending than I do by saving. And there are a number of little tricks, I would say, that we are beginning to institute based on what we think we know about the brain, but we're still very early in the process of knowing exactly, you know, 30 years from now, yes, that really worked robustly. But we have some indications, we have some early studies. There are some things that have been done already that we have seen savings rates increase. And so we're sort of following that thread to try to do more and more of those things in more and more creative ways. So it has to happen mostly without any conscious commitment, following through on a commitment to do it.
Interesting, everybody. We're talking with Dr. Ted Klontz. He's a financial psychologist and associate professor of practice and founder of the Financial Psychology Institute at Creighton University. I never thought that it would be a psychology to saving. So what are some of the tricks that we can do to hack into our brain to help us to save more?
Yes, well, there are a number of things. One is and there are many different things that happen, but one of the ones that seems to have a lot of promise is this concept called buckets. Mm-hmm. And that we designate, instead of saving in the general term, it's like we're saving for that trip to Italy. And so in our mind, in that bucket, we actually put maybe some figures of what Italy would look like. Or we're saving for Brad's college education. So that bucket would have him in a cap and gown and a diploma so that we can actually see it. The part of the brain that makes decisions like this is a sensory experience. So the more sensory that we can make it, the more likely we are to do it. When you go to buy a car, they don't show you a list of cars for sale. They take you and sit you in the car. That's a sensory experience. You smell it, you feel it. And not only that, but they sit you behind the driver's steering wheel. And that part of the brain goes, oh, this is mine. I really like it. When the other part of the brain just went to look, right? So the same mechanisms that are used to sell us things that we didn't really intend to buy can be used to help us save.
So by dispersing the idea of just savings, but customizing the buckets to fit your certain lifestyle or the goals that you have in mind?
Yes, that's exactly it. And, you know, some of the banks are actually doing that. They're actually calling it the bucket method. And that's one of the things that we have found to be successful in increasing the rate of savings, sometimes as much as 76%.
Oh, my gosh.
In savings.
That's pretty significant. So earlier you were saying that there were only in America, maybe it's the world, that only 13% of us are savers?
Yes. Genetically, it seems to be there's about 13% are automatically saving. I mean, that's what we do. We get pleasure out of that. We get more pleasure out of saving than we do dispersing. And so today, those are the heroes, and they make it look easy. And it can give us a false impression, well, anybody can do it if they want to. Anybody can, but for the other 87% of it, it's not that easy. We have to, you know, we have to work at it. There are people who just love to exercise, but most of us don't. And, you know, none of our ancestors, or at least most of us, none of our ancestors survived and gave us their genes by going out in the morning and getting totally exhausted by lifting rocks. And, you know, they were the last one in line if something started chasing them. So the survivors were sort of lazy, slothful, if you will. They ate everything that was in front of them. They shared everything that there was to share. I mean, that was a survival technique. And a lot of what we're asking people to do is to override that natural tendency to do what our ancestors did.
As a final thought, we're just about out of time. How can we get more information about this interesting technique of saving more?
Well, you know, Ally Bank just put a new initiative out there, and I think it's brilliant. I didn't design it, but I think it's brilliant. It hits on a lot of those parts. And what I would say, there are a lot of pieces of information out there about the various things that you can take, but primarily get some help to help you or help me do what we most want to do.
All right. Dr. Ted Klotz, I can't thank you enough for being with us this morning on New Beginnings. And we'll certainly reach back out to you just to see how the research is coming. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Have a good day.
You too. And this is New Beginnings.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
I'm attorney Rachel Schroman of Schroman Law in St. Paul, and I am passionate about providing legal services in the areas of estate planning, probate, and elder law. My clients receive the attention and compassion they deserve, with their peace of mind being my top priority. Enjoy the comfort of knowing that you have planned for the worst so you can confidently continue living at your best. Visit SchromanLaw.com. That's SchromanLaw.com.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be sunny with a high of 44. Tonight, clouds increasing with a low around 31. Sunday will be sunny with a high of 44 and a low of 24. While Monday will be sunny with a high of 34 and a low around 24.
EatLocalMinnesota.com's restaurant of the week is Cafe Latte. Cafe Latte is a gourmet cafeteria with an ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soup. Plus, their bakery specializes in fresh breads and desserts. Check them out at the intersection of Victoria and Grand in St. Paul.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
Hi, everyone. I am Freddie Bell, and you know that by now, and you're listening to New Beginnings. And it's so exciting that you're here with us as we now turn our attention to Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis. She's the founder, and you can find her online, westmetrohypnosis.com, 952-222-3975. Happy Saturday, Kelly.
Happy Saturday and happy Leap Day, Freddie. You pointed out to me that it was Leap Day today.
Yes, Leap Day. It doesn't happen, what is it, every 4 years we have the 29th of February?
Yes, which got me thinking, isn't time crazy?
How so?
It's so arbitrary. We get so caught up in time, and yet it's so arbitrary, and yet so malleable as well. I mean, somewhere along the line, we just decided to insert another day into the calendar. And I know it has to do with like making up for that weird quarter of a day that it takes. What is it that it takes the sun to travel through the universe or something like that? I know it. I remember this from like elementary school where it has to align with the sun and the planets and everything. But what really freaks me out is that we humans, we can do that with time. And yet we are the only ones who really use time and who are affected by time.
There are a lot of people who are listening to you right now. They're going, how do you use time and how are we affected by time and other things cannot be?
Well, we use time to dictate so much of our lives. I mean, think about how we use time to dictate how we feel. I mean, all you have to do is look at your to-do list and start saying to yourself, I don't have enough time to do all this. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. And you say that enough and you will start to feel the anxiety of not having enough time. Yet we all have the same amount of time. And most of us would agree that the important stuff always gets done. So actually, we do have enough time. And we even have a new extra day today, an extra day that we won't have the next 3 years, which is just, it just, I think it's just a crazy concept. And if you think about it, no other creature on Earth even thinks about time the way that we think about it, right?
Exactly. I've heard it called a day of correction.
Nice. A day of correction. Has anybody said what we're correcting from?
No, not that I've heard.
Yeah. So that's just an interesting concept in and of itself. So what if we use that and really harness the energy of Leap Day being a day of correction where we can just forgive ourselves for all the stuff that we didn't get done, forgive ourselves for all of the things that we wish we would have said differently, wish we would have done differently, and right here, right now, say, this is my day of correction where everything is forgiven, and right here, right now, I get a clean slate and can move more powerfully forward into the realm of physical time and space. It's kind of like getting a freebie, almost a get out of jail free card. Doesn't it feel like that?
It does feel good. And when you place it like that, the day of correction, the day of really making time stand still, so to speak. How can we get more information, Kelly?
Oh, give me a call, 952-222-3975, or visit westmetrohypnosis.com. I would love to have a conversation with anyone who's up for it about this concept of time.
And you're listening to New Beginnings.
Are you tired of the extra weight? Are you fed up with smoking? Is fear running your life? Do you feel stuck? Well, keep listening. Call 952-222-3975 or visit westmetrohypnosis.com. Hypnosis feels really good and is very effective in getting results. Remember, 952-222-3975. West Metro Hypnosis, empowering you to master your life.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us and continuing to be with us this week. And right now we welcome to our studios the center coordinator for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, which is located at 1015 4th Avenue North in Minneapolis. If you'd like to reach Kitty Harris by phone, it's 612-344-2221. Good morning and welcome, Kitty.
Good morning, Freddie. Always a pleasure to be here with you.
Glad you're with us. You do some fine work at the McCorvey Health and Wellness Center with all your collaborative partners. And I understand that you have yet another event that involves your partners and the community.
Yes, we are excited to be hosting a Lunch and Learn series in partnership with the University of Minnesota's School of Public Health. And so next Thursday, March 5th, we will have a kind of what is and what can be done, very basic community discussion around Alzheimer's disease.
Mm. Alzheimer's disease really is a silent disease that we don't often talk about in the African-American community.
Yes. And so one of the things that has always been the goal of the center since the 8 years that we've been open, we turn 8 March 1st, is to make sure that North Minneapolis is a dementia-friendly community, that people are informed about Alzheimer's disease and to just kind of learn about those cues that are not always readily available. And so we are very excited that Dr. Joseph Gagler from the School of Public Health is going to be coming and talking with us about how to work with a person who is experiencing memory loss and some of the new technologies that are coming around health and wellness to help with different programs dealing with Alzheimer's and dementia.
We've heard of Alzheimer's, we've heard of dementia. What is a working definition, if you can, of dementia and again with Alzheimer's?
The best way that I could put it, because, you know, I am no medical professional, is it's a decrease in your muscle memory that causes you to kind of be disoriented and start to not remember things as it progresses. We've seen cases where people lose motor functions, have an inability to take care of themselves. So it's not just people are always kind of aching in it to memory issues, but it truly does take over your entire body functions. And that's why there are so many studies that have been done that say the types of diets that you have and the types of exercise that you do to keep your body and your memory strong and fit can help to fight this disease. And so University of Minnesota School of Public Health, along with Johns Hopkins and Drexel University, will have people here to provide just some very basic information for people to understand.
This is really a timely topic in that just in the last few days, we lost B. Smith, actress and television show host and a chef, actually, who Cooking with B. Smith, Barbara Smith is her real name. She just died not long ago, 70 years old, from complications resulting from Alzheimer's. Who is this event for and how do you register, or is that needed?
Registration is needed because we will be providing lunch, so we want to make sure that we have enough food. But this event is free and open to the public. We want healthcare professionals to attend. We want community members to attend. We want people that are providing care for their loved ones to attend and get some information. This event is for them. It's going to be at 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Thursday, March 5th. And people can just RSVP 612-344-2221, and we'll add their name to the list and ensure that they have, you know, we have food for them. But we're hoping for a great turnout. We're hoping for this to be an ongoing educational opportunity for the community to continue to spread awareness about Alzheimer's and dementia, what it is and what can be done.
All right. That's Kitty Harris, the center coordinator for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. And this is New Beginnings.
Says the spokesman.
Hey, ladies, have you ever wanted a place where you could network, shop, eat, laugh, and learn? Sister Spokesman is that place. Held the first Saturday of every month, Sister Spokesman takes place from 12 to 4 p.m. at various locations throughout the Twin Cities. And it's sponsored by the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. Vendor opportunities are also available. For more information, 612-827-4021 or online at spokesman-recorder.com.
Sister Spokesman.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and I'd like to give you some information about adding beneficiaries to your investment accounts. Losing a loved one isn't just an emotional burden. It also carries an administrative load. There are flower arrangements to pick, eulogies to write, and a stream of paperwork to sort through. You can reduce that load for your own heirs by communicating your preferences about your assets early. Part of that means adding beneficiaries to your retirement and investment accounts. Doing so will help save your heirs time, money, and energy when they need it most. And here's why. According to the experts we talked to, your beneficiaries keep more money and they can get it faster. So if your beneficiaries are already assigned to your investment or retirement accounts, the assets will pass to them. If not, they may have to go through probate. That's a legal process for settling an estate after someone dies. Probate often involves going to a state court, which is the last thing your beneficiaries will want to worry about during a busy and difficult time. A typical probate case can last a year or longer, during which time your beneficiaries can't get access to their inheritance. Going to a court may also mean court fees, attorney fees, lost time, and added stress, all things they'd rather avoid. And all told, depending on the complexity of the estate, probate can eat up 0.5% to 5% of your total estate. That according to Riley Poppy, who is a certified financial planner and the founder of Ignite Financial Planning in Seattle, Washington. Number two, it eases stress for your heirs. Just taking care of this simple step of adding a beneficiary can ease the heavy burden for those people who you're leaving behind. According to Poppy, part of your financial plan needs to be legacy planning and having your plan reflect your last wishes. It saves time, money, and stress, she says, and makes it really easy for your loved ones. And once an account provider is notified of the death of an account holder, the provider typically notifies the beneficiaries, which can save heirs from having to locate accounts. The beneficiary will then need to provide necessary documentation like a death certificate, but that process is significantly cheaper and less time-consuming than probate. Transferring investment and retirement accounts to heirs who are listed beneficiaries typically costs no more than $30 to obtain death certificates and takes a month and a half to 2 months to get that information back. We're giving you the top five benefits of adding beneficiaries to your investment accounts that you have. Number three, beneficiaries can override your will. So if you have beneficiaries listed according to the experts, these elections will typically override your will. That makes beneficiaries, up-to-date ones, extremely important. If you've been married twice, for example, and you forgot to change your beneficiary elections from your first spouse to your second, your money could go to your ex when you pass away, even if your will states otherwise. Unless you want your family situation to look like an episode of The Maury Show, it's best to keep your retirement beneficiary elections up to date. Number four is a quick and painless process. Retirement account and investment account beneficiaries are different, but it's easy to assign beneficiaries for both types of accounts, according to the experts. If you have a retirement account like a 401k or an IRA, your account will typically offer beneficiary forms without the account itself. You can select your beneficiaries when you create your account or revisit them later. If you have a regular investment account, in order to make beneficiary elections, you'll need to request a transfer on death form. You can also request transfer on death forms for bank accounts as well. And if you have a trust, you don't have to worry about selecting beneficiaries because by their very nature, trusts already have a clearly named beneficiary. So your trust allows their holders to completely avoid the possibility of probate. And finally, you recently experienced a life change. So after a big life change, like getting married or having a child, it's important to update or add beneficiary elections right away. No one likes to think about an unexpected death, especially not right after a happy event, but it can happen, and so it's best to be prepared. Also keep in mind, according to the experts, that there are some laws that govern leaving retirement plans to a spouse. In 401ks, for example, your spouse will typically inherit the account unless they sign a written consent form waiving their right to it. If you want to leave your 401k to your adult children, it isn't enough to list them as beneficiaries. Your spouse has to sign off as well. And also, there's something called community property states, and spouses can be entitled to half of the assets of an IRA, even if other beneficiaries are listed, unless you have written consent. It's best to talk to your financial advisor or even your life insurance representative to make sure you have all of this information in the correct place. And be sure to research local laws to ensure that your money goes to where you want it to go. Estate planning can be complicated. That's why we contact the experts. So if you're not certain of how things can unfold in the event of your death, make sure to have an estate planning attorney check your work. You're listening to New Beginnings, and our program continues right now.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
You can't go through a day without hearing about healthcare reform. St. Paul Corner Drug is here to help you navigate the ever-changing healthcare landscape. We are your advocate in getting much-needed prescription medication covered under your insurance plan. Need to choose a different plan? There is no reason to feel like you are drowning in the system. St. Paul Corner Drug can make simple work out of finding you a plan that best suits your needs. You can rest assured at St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be.
As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister, and they invite you to their two Sunday morning services at 9 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m., as well as to their numerous weekly activities and classes. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
Richard Rohr cited brain studies in his book,
that have shown that we may be hardwired in our human biology to focus on problems at the expense of positive action. The human brain seems to wrap around fears and problems that might happen like Velcro, just a fixing attention. And perhaps it's been the human story throughout time to be very aware of any possible danger that might arise that has led to this biological focus on what might befall us. Studies done by the neuroscientist Rick Hansen show that we must consciously hold on to a positive thought or feeling for a minimum of 15 seconds before it registers or leaves any imprint in the neurons. Rohr encourages us to watch our own thinking and emotions to see if we have a toxic attraction to the negative, whether it's a situation at work, a bit of incriminating gossip, or a sad development in the life of a friend. Therefore, we must deliberately practice actually enjoying a positive response and a grateful heart. It seems by following through on our conscious choices, actually inviting God into our life and circumstances, we can increase the bandwidth of our freedom. We must make a daily and even hourly choice to focus on the good, the true, the beautiful. Unity's co-founder Myrtle Fillmore described the success of her physical healing in a very similar way. She asked her dear mother-in-law to take over care of the family on a daily basis. She said, "I need to spend time on my healing and a complete focus in prayer upon the power of God, upon the truths that were in that poem that we sang in our hymn at prayer time. God is my help in every need." But Myrtle wanted to build that firmly in her consciousness, that invitation to allow God to work through her life, to be her healing, and eventually to broaden her in every way, to awaken her to all the possibilities of good that could work through her life. She said, "I let a prayer go up every hour." Yes, every hour. Her practice for those 2 years was so disciplined that she was in an almost constant state of contemplation and of prayer. And the effect and the result was the reestablishment of her bodily health. I like to point out that after her healing at the age of 45, she had her third and last child, Royal Fillmore. And at that age, and after what she had gone through, to bear a child, I think, speaks of her physical strength and well-being. Now, I want to shift our attention now to the observance tomorrow of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. An opportunity for our country to recognize a great moral witness who called the nation to demonstrate its truth, power, and good, to continually evolve our society, to be a true expression of our founding values, such as all humans are created equal. In 1963, from his jail cell in Birmingham, Dr. King, justifying his social action in that city, which was not his hometown, wrote, Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. He went on to cite great examples of Jesus and Paul. He encouraged religious leaders in that city to stand up for justice. He had expected their support in Birmingham. But at the moment, they were silent. And although he was a great orator, he was also practical when it came to social change. And he offered in that letter four practical steps to nonviolent action. And I thought these steps, although we can't dwell on them today, I wanted to just bring them into our awareness. He said step one is to collect facts and determine or become aware where injustices exist. In other words, pay attention. See what's going on. Step two, negotiation, or we might say authentic conversation in the community, respectful, and to see how people might work together for change, to see what might be accomplished. Step three, this is interesting, self-purification. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, I think it was something like an inner reflection on purpose, an inner reflection on purpose. I don't know about you, but some of us have had the experience when there's been a challenge in a situation. Rather than focusing our attention and our will to act totally on how the situation can be changed or resolved for the benefit of all, we might fall back and want to see a certain part of the all punished or taught a lesson or to get revenge or I'll make them pay. I think Dr. King was so insightful in leading people in social action, nonviolent action, that he incorporated this third step of introspection. What is your reason? Is it solely to satisfy your own ego and prove that your view is right? Or is it to elevate the conversation for the whole community, to hear everyone's concerns and needs? Is there any of that sense of wanting others to be punished for their choices or to be, in those days, put in their place?
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
You want to be in a place where people know your name. The message is positive and you feel fulfilled. Come be inspired at Unity South Church. Unity South is a non-denominational spiritual community with roots in love, acceptance, and prayer. We believe that you have an indwelling spark of divinity. Come visit us this Sunday for the interactive discussion at 9 a.m. or the regular service at 10:30 a.m. Unity South is located at 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington. A stimulating and uplifting Sunday school for preschool through 18 years old. Unity South Church, embracing, loving, empowering.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance
for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.